Well, today we're in page 1010, 1010, and it'll be chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. And it's Jesus heals a deaf and mute man. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went down through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said to him, "Epaphratha," which means "be opened." And at this the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Irene. Let's pray together, shall we, before we look at the passage. Our Heavenly Father, as we were hearing this morning, we are so privileged to be able to have your word, your written word, for us to look at tonight. And please help us by your Holy Spirit to come to your word expectantly, to work hard together to chew on your word, that we might hear from you and respond the way you want us to. Because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So often when I'm preparing a sermon, I'm sure most preachers will do this, as we're preparing, a certain song comes into your mind and to suggest to the service leader or the band leader for the service. And the one that's been coming into my head for the last 2 or 3 weeks, actually, is the one that we sometimes sing in the morning, you know, that God can do everything, anything at all. And I've been singing Jesus can do anything at all. But just so you don't worry about it, that hasn't made tonight's playlist. Richard kicked it out, that said we couldn't do that one. No, he didn't really. But it's been in my head because since we returned to Mark's Gospel this month, these last 3 or 4 weeks, we've seen Jesus do just that, do anything at all. He's been walking across the Sea of Galilee. He's been rebuking the established teachers, experts of Scripture, of the Old Testament. He's been reinterpreting by his fulfilling of God's written word. He's gone beyond Israel's borders into the crowds of so-called unclean people. He's been conducting healings, the remote healing of the demon-possessed girl that we were looking at last week, and today restoring a man's hearing and speech. But the reason why that song's particularly been going around in my head over these last 2 or 3 weeks is the rest of the song, where it says, "Don't shove him in a box, don't put him in a corner, don't you limit what he can do." Or you might add, you know, "Don't limit how Jesus does what he does." Because as Jesus has done all those things that were just mentioned in over these last few weeks, Mark the writer, has shown us the different facets of Jesus' personality. And some of them are quite challenging. He castigates the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. He criticizes his own disciples. He calls them dull. And then last week, even though, as Tony explained, the Syrian Phoenician woman apparently wasn't offended by the language of Jesus that he used in the parable when the illustration likened her to a dog, well, it still sounded pretty harsh anyway. So if you've heard any of these sermons over the last weeks, I wonder how you felt seeing and hearing what we might describe as a tougher side of Jesus. How would you feel if Jesus, you know, pulled you off a strip, told you off, if he called you dull, if he used insensitive language to you? How would you feel? I know it's true for me, maybe true for you guys, that sometimes we want a particular type of Jesus shaped to our own preferences. You know, I prefer the miraculous, compassionate, gentle Jesus. I'd rather keep the challenging aspects of Jesus, you know, the hard, the contentious teaching from him, or the command to deny myself. I'd like to keep those in the corner in the box. Sometimes, as followers of Jesus, we want Jesus to do mighty things, but we don't want to be shaken up too much in the process. So our short passage this evening might come as a relief, because Mark shows us Jesus at perhaps his most compassionate and his most gentlest. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story of healing of a man who, because of his hearing and speech impediment, probably would have been excluded from so much for so long. Yet as we look at the passage, amazing as it is, let's notice Jesus doing what he always does. Knowing the deepest needs of each of us, knowing what we need, not what we think we need, but knowing what we need to be healed, to be cleansed, to be forgiven, to be saved, to be in a right relationship with him. Sometimes it's challenging, sometimes it's gentle, but as we see in today's story, it's always personal. So let's look at the passage together. Verse 31 tells us that Jesus moved around to the sort of east of the Sea of Galilee. We're just going to put a quick map up, I hope. Have we got the map? Doesn't matter if we haven't, but here we go. So really, last week he was going up the left-hand side, Tyre and Upton. It says here he goes past Tyre, up to Tyre, Sidon, which is almost the top of the page. And then somehow he makes his way across down to the little blue bit in the middle, Sea of Galilee. And you can see that bit there called Decapolis. He's somewhere in there. Thank you very much for the map. So he's made it to this. Decapolis means 10 cities. It was a place where it was a Greek-influenced place, still in the Roman Empire. And mostly people living there were Gentiles, people who weren't Jews. But there were Jews who had settled there as well. So although Mark isn't specific in verse 32, it's very likely that the man that's been brought to Jesus is a Gentile, that he wasn't a Jew. And that would be consistent with the whole of chapter 7. Then Mark's been showing us how Jesus is showing other people that his kingdom is for everybody. Now we're told that the people who brought the man to Jesus begged Jesus to put hands on him, to lay hands on him so that he would be healed from his deafness and his speech impediment. And that word begged is the same word that Tony was explaining last week. It's an active verb. It means, you know, persistence. They kept on begging. Now, we don't know why they kept on begging. Maybe they were his friends and they were really keen to help him. A bit like the, I'm guessing it was four people who lowered Jesus down through the roof that we can read in Mark 2. Maybe they were his close friends and they were really trying. Maybe as the parallel passage in Matthew 15 tells us there was a great crowd of people that Jesus was healing. So maybe they just had to try and push their way through and keep on to get Jesus' attention. What we know for sure is what the Bible says. The man was deaf and could hardly talk. Now we'll do a tiny little bit of Bible study here, because we miss this in our English Bibles, and really we're not expected, I don't think, to see this. But the word that Mark uses, he wrote this letter, the Gospel, in Greek. And the word that he used, that we get as hardly talk, only appears one other place in the Bible. And it's only in the Greek version of the Old Testament. Now, Mark would have had the Greek version of the Old Testament, and then he wrote his Gospel in Greek. The only other place where this Greek word that means hardly talk appears is in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, where God, through the prophet Isaiah, looked towards the anointed king, the Messiah, who would bring rescue and healing and newness to those who followed his ways. Let me read the two verses. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue, that's the word in Isaiah, the same as hardly talk in our passage today, the mute tongue will shout for joy. Right back at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, Mark 1, verse 1, Mark started his Gospel with the words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So what Mark is doing here for us, or particularly for the readers who are reading it in Greek, he's saying, this is evidence. I'm giving you evidence of the purpose of my Gospel, to show you that Jesus is God, that he is the Messiah. Okay, so on to verses 33 and 34, which is just two beautiful moving verses showing the compassion and the care, the gentleness, the personal touch of Jesus. And the first thing we see is that Jesus took the man aside so that he was away from the crowd in a sort of more private place as far as he could in the middle of the open. And there could have been a number of reasons why he did that. Perhaps the man had previously been treated as a bit of a spectacle because of his disabilities, and Jesus is intentional in minimizing that here by bringing him to the side. Or maybe Jesus is just trying to get the man at ease. We're not told whether the man was there by choice or whether his friends just sort of took him along, or we don't even know whether they were his friends. But maybe Jesus is just giving time and space for the man to trust Jesus. I think whatever the reasons, we're not told, but whatever the reasons, Jesus' actions were clearly with the intention that for the man, it would be a personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus then put his fingers in the man's ears. Maybe it's that fingers, I don't know. And then it seems that Jesus spat on his hand in some way, maybe his fingers, and then touched the man's tongue. It's really weird, isn't it? Did Jesus need to include those theatrics for the healing of the man to be successful? Question, answer, no. We know from the previous story that he healed that young girl, the demon-possessed girl. He healed her from remotely, hadn't even seen her. So we know Jesus could have healed this man as well quite easily. But we know, though, that Jesus wasn't doing it for show because he'd taken the man aside. So that leaves what he must have done it for. He'd done it for the man's benefit. It must have been sign language. Jesus taking the time to explain to the man what was happening. I know your ears don't work. I know your mouth doesn't work. But I'm praying for your healing. I love the way that Jesus sees the person in front of him and meets his specific needs. I mean, Jesus must have been tired, lots of healings that he was doing. He could have just seen this man as a problem, as a number, as another healing tick box, but he didn't. It's not a great illustration, but you know, sometimes when big sports stars are asked to give autographs, sportsmen particularly, when they sign the big tennis balls, or at cricket they sign the little bats, some of these sports people are just not interested, and they sign because they have to and they walk along like this. Others will stop and they will ask the person's name and they'll write something personal, and then maybe they'll do a selfie or something like that. Well, Jesus didn't go along the line, for instance, and go, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. He didn't do it like that, did he? As with everyone, Jesus' touch is personal. He sees the person and he meets their specific needs, providing an opportunity to know Jesus. That sign language, as I mentioned, continues. As Jesus prayed, he looks up to heaven. Because I think Jesus wanted the man to know that God was involved here. Maybe inviting the man to have faith, to build faith, so that the man didn't feel that it was something that was being done to him, but that he was fully involved in this encounter with God, so he could get to know God, get to know Jesus in a personal way. And then Jesus prayed, saying, however this word is pronounced, Ephphatha, an Aramaic word, which was the local language of the man, meaning be opened. Now, I've been wondering why Jesus spoke the word out loud if the man couldn't hear. Perhaps the man could lip read. Maybe the man wasn't totally deaf. We don't know. And I'm just wondering, because I could be pushing the text too far here, but I just like to think, because this would be so like Jesus, that maybe it was the first word the man heard, that as Jesus was saying, be opened, that his ears were open, so he heard it. I don't know. Anyway, let's get back to what the Bible does say. Mark also then tells us that as Jesus prayed, he sighed deeply. He groaned. And this is obviously significant for Mark to include it. So what's going on? Well, we know from elsewhere in the Gospels that Jesus expressed all human emotions empathising with pain and struggles of those that he met. So here, out of his compassion for the man, Jesus is identifying with the man's sadness and his struggles, just further emphasising the personal, sensitive approach of Jesus towards the man. But I think there's a bigger picture as well. Again, as Jesus does, we read elsewhere in the Gospels, that it's a sign of the bigger picture, that a groan by Jesus for a broken world. A broken world that, because of sin's curse on the world, the impact of suffering that goes on. And beyond that, a groan as he thinks about the pain of the cross that he would bear to overcome that curse for you and me, and free us and cleanse us and heal us. Verse 35 says, at this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed, that means unchained, and he began to speak plainly. It's amazing. Every one of Jesus' miracles is amazing. And Mark goes on to say that the people were overwhelmed with amazement at the healing. And, you know, I don't want to in any way say that it isn't amazing, because it is incredibly amazing. Yet isn't it also absolutely amazing how Jesus goes about this healing? Once again, he does how he wants to do it. He can't be shoved in any particular shape, box or corner. Now, obviously, the people, the group that brought the man and the wider crowd, they would have seen the transformation in the man. And Mark tells us in verse 36 that Jesus commanded them to be quiet because they were all celebrating it. But they didn't be quiet. They couldn't be quiet. They were just overwhelmed with amazement what was going on from all these and other miracles that Jesus was carrying out. So why did Jesus tell them to keep quiet? Well, two main reasons. One, he's not ready. He's not ready. It's not his time yet for his claim to be God, to be Messiah, to go fully public with it. He needs more, spend more time, particularly with the disciples, to explain things more fully before he goes to the cross. And when we get to the second part of Mark's gospel, we'll see that as he closes in with the disciples. But secondly, Jesus, you know, he didn't come to be a celebrity, miracle-working king. And this could be what Mark is emphasising through this true story, that the people, they're loving the miracles, but they're not listening to Jesus. They're deaf to what Jesus is saying about who he is, what the Messiah looks like, what the kingdom of God really looks like. And yet, having said that, somewhat ironically, maybe even prophetically, their celebrations of praise in verse 37, they point to the truth. He even makes the deaf hear and mute speak, they say. Where did we hear those words? That passage from Isaiah 35. And they say, he has done everything well. That's got echoes of creation language of Genesis 1, where God saw what he created and saw it was good, said it was good. These people now witness Jesus showing signs of the new creation, the new kingdom to come. You know, as I said, it's a beautiful, it's a wonderful passage. I love it, I really do. And we understandably might think, this is the Jesus I love to hear about. Kind, considerate, compassionate, gentle, personal, healing just to be in his presence. And that's true. However, this aspect of Jesus does raise challenges for us. Because if we committed our lives to Jesus as our King and Saviour, we often pray, as we prayed just a little bit earlier in the confession, please change me, please change us to be more like Jesus. So that's a question of application for us to ask ourselves this evening. What does it look like to be more like Jesus, the characteristics, the personality of Jesus that we see in this passage this evening? You know, we're called to minister, to love and care and support each other in our church family and beyond. And it's a challenging call. Jesus, you know, Jesus wants to use us to do his mighty work through us. In our morning services currently, as you know, we've been looking at what it looks like to be a church. And part of that being a church is to, you know, have responsibility to look out for each other, to care for each other. And last summer, you might have come along to the... We had a detailed look at caring for each other through the Walking with Others series at Lifetime. So it's really, you know, it's a big subject. But just for tonight, as we seek to be more like Jesus, let's notice how Jesus ministered to the man so that we can seek to be like him. Jesus didn't treat this man as a number, as a problem, as a task. He treated him as a person, adapting his ways for the man's well-being. Jesus went out of his way to care for the man in the best way he could in the circumstances, private, personal, empathetic, kind, sensitive. Jesus would have been tired. He would have been under pressure. But he denied himself in order to serve the man. And Jesus spent time with him to find out what was going on. And then he prayed for the man, with the man. And then he provided practical, life-changing help. Yes, it was a miracle, but it was still practical help. Something for us to reflect on. We may not have the gifts or the experience to meet someone's needs in full, but we can all do these things that Jesus did to some extent. As I finish, I want to just say one more thing about Jesus, hopefully to encourage us as we go into the week, as we seek to glorify him in our lives. I don't know what your week looks like. It may look good, it may look ordinary, it may look really tough ahead. But this is for all of us, wherever we are. Because as Jesus ministers to you, remember he is God. He is the mighty King of the kingdom who can do anything. And yet he is the King who sighs. The one who knows what it's like to be a human in a broken world. So that means he knows us better than we know ourselves. Jesus knows what we need, however and whatever our circumstances are. Sometimes his touch will feel gentle. Sometimes it will feel tough. But you know, it'll always be personal. It'll always be what we need. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment, please? And I'm going to ask you just to reflect, thinking about the way Jesus treated that man, just for a short period of silence, and then Mark will pick up for us. Thinking about the way Jesus interacted with the man. Just choose out of those things one thing that you would like God to grow you in for the week ahead.